The Old Testament reading is taken from the third chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, "Rise up, go out into the valley, and there I will speak with you." So I rose up and went out into the valley, and the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory that I had seen by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. The Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And he spoke with me and said to me, "Go, shut yourself inside your house. As for you, mortal, cords shall be placed upon you, and you shall be bound with them, so that you cannot go out among the people. And I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be speechless and unable to reprove them. For they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, let those who will hear, hear, and let those who refuse to hear, refuse, for they are a rebellious house.'" This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is taken from Acts chapter 12. About that time, Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping a watch over the prison. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane, when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's about this time that our primary schools and our secondary school children will be attending consultation evenings with their parents and teachers in school, taking home their end-of-term reports. In those reports, hopefully we see individual characteristics are beginning to emerge in each pupil. Natural leadership skills, an aptitude towards certain parts of the curriculum, a preference for certain subjects. Each child is on their educational journey, hopefully tapping into their potential, and one that encourages eventually full all-round potential. I well remember attempting to salvage my children's school report from the bottom of their school bag and Miss remnants of their leftover packed lunch. I well recall clutching my own school report sealed in a brown envelope for my parents to open. I held my breath as they fell silent and read it. Patricia tends to lose focus during maths. She could adapt a more enthusiastic attitude to PE. She has a tendency to daydream. I wonder what Jesus would say when reporting on his students at the end of 3 years as their teacher, as their rabbi. Thomas comes to mind. Seek certainty in a task. Not afraid to challenge and tends to trust his own judgment. Prone to doubt to become sure. Will go the whole way when affirmed and loves his teacher. And what of Judas? Tends not to be a team player. Often missing from class. But what might Jesus' observation be of Peter? A little headstrong at times, plunges in without thinking. He misses the point sometimes, does not always see promises or commitments through. But a passionate student, destined, I'm sure, to go far when he finally establishes his mission in life. And today, we celebrate our patron saint, Saint Peter, often with our jokes of heaven and the pearly gates. But Jesus' life and witness can speak to us about our own discipleship today. So let's think about the life of Peter. Most of us find Peter to be likable and lovable from the moment we are introduced to him. Outgoing, gregarious, transparent, and no doubt enthusiastic. But most important of all, he loved Christ. I felt moved in the hymn we just sang, In Christ Alone. And for all the failings that Peter may have had, he held true to that passion. We know that he was an ordinary fisherman along with his brother Andrew. And that they came from Bethsaida. They fished together on the Sea of Galilee. And Peter soon became part of the inner circle of disciples with James and John. And I did some more research. His father was Jonah. I don't know his wife's name, but apparently he had a spouse. He first gets mentioned in Matthew chapter 4, verse 14. He's then mentioned some 183 times in the Bible. He initially was named Simon, which means hearing, and Jesus later called him Peter or Cephas, which means rock. He is at one point, though, referred to as Satan because he rebukes Jesus for talking about his sacrifice and his death. And we all know that he denies Jesus three times at his trial. It seems this guy, Peter, makes a lot of mistakes, but is still Peter, the rock on whom the church is built. Isn't that something amazing. When we consider Peter's life, he breaks down the myth of a saint. Saints surely don't sin or make mistakes, do they? Peter did. He didn't even understand the ministry of Jesus at times. His faith sometimes wavered. He once tried to walk on water to get to Jesus. He took a couple of steps and began to sink. Jesus helped him up and asked why he doubted. I guess it brings some comfort to us. It certainly does to me. We do try so hard to follow Jesus, and we do it well. But we often fumble, muck it up a bit, and make a few mistakes along the way. But the most important thing to remember is to love Christ. Peter, because of him being impulsive and strong-willed, his faults were always quite obvious. Yet Jesus saw so much potential in him, had such confidence in Peter's love. So much so that Jesus asked him to feed, to shelter, to love the sheep, those whom created in God's image. There is, however, an amazing contrast when Peter receives the Holy Spirit. By reading the first 15 chapters of Acts and Peter's two epistles, we see a different man, an inspired man, enabled and empowered man, from disciple Simon to apostle Peter. We see such transformation. If Peter can change that much, then we too can experience significant growth, reach our full potential. Our patron saint was anything but a rock. He wasn't dependable the way a Christian leader should be. In fact, he often acted in a way that would be inappropriate for a Christian. He may have had an outward confidence, but an underlying insecurity. Maybe we see ourselves a little here in Peter. Are there not times when we feel the same? All four Gospels tell of Peter's shameful denial of Jesus, but God will forgive even the worst of sins. And Peter goes through the most humbling experience imaginable. He had forsaken Jesus and he had denied him. He had wept bitterly. Maybe we haven't been so dramatic, but all of us have let down Jesus at some time or another. We get to see Peter's fear, cowardness, and lack of commitment. But all of us, surely, at one time or another, harbour those same feelings. Peter shows us we too can change and be transformed and turn weaknesses into strengths. Peter's confidence grew. His master loved him. Loved his boldness and spontaneity. Jesus saw his strength and abilities. When Jesus asked, "Who do they say that I am?" Peter immediately and passionately stated, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And there is no doubt that Jesus is pleased with Peter's understanding and reverence. So the Spirit touches Peter at Pentecost. He becomes humble, dedicated, and a wonderful example. His two epistles are filled with beautiful instructions on how to live a Spirit-filled life. Who would have thought it? From fisherman to the prince of apostles. This same Peter, a simple fisherman who made the right confession, lived his life of faith and doubts, and in the end followed Christ's call, even till his death. Peter's call to discipleship is like our own call. Like Peter, we will get it right, and we will probably get it wrong as well. It's hope for the rest of us. I am quite pleased that our St. Peter is our patron here. And we can be assured his final student report would read, "He became one of the world's greatest teachers of love, hope, and humility." The evidence of Peter's martyrdom in Rome is complete. The time and manner are less certain. All agree he was crucified. Tradition says that Peter felt unworthy to be put to death in the same manner as his master. And therefore, at his own request, he was crucified with his head downward. St. Peter, fisherman to apostle. Amen. Let us pray.
As we are called by God to worship, let us pray for the church and for the world. Heavenly Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you entrusted the keys of the kingdom to a simple fisherman, Peter, and made him the rock upon which your church is founded. Help us in our human simplicity to follow his example of faith. May we never be deterred by our failures, but rise again to walk with you in faith. May we always be encouraging and supportive of each other in our gifting. We pray for our witness here and for all churches around the world named after St. Peter, who are celebrating around this time. Lord, we ask that you grant to all Christian people perseverance in their calling and faithfulness to the truth that is the good news of our salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we bring before you the needs of the church in its weakness, in its strength, and in its potential. Revive us, refresh us, teach and direct us. Keep us faithful to you. As we give thanks for the faithful witness of your servant Peter, we pray for all those in this day and age who are imprisoned or persecuted for their faith. Help us, your church, to be bold and courageous in our proclamation of your word. And may your church grow in love as we seek to discern your will. We pray that you may send your Holy Spirit to each and every one of us, helping to open our hearts and minds to hear Jesus' call. Like Peter, inspire us to use our own special and unique gifts to do your work and help raise up your kingdom in this place. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, we particularly ask that you pour out your blessings on all who are being ordained at this time. And we especially ask for your guidance for Sarah Marshall as she enters the priesthood. As she begins her ministry, in your service, walk with her and her family day by day. Fortify her for the task ahead. Let her hear your voice clearly, and fill her with the power of your Holy Spirit, that she may bring many people to discipleship through her words and her actions. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for this parish, our friends, family, and colleagues. Help us to witness by word and example to those among whom we live and work. In those we meet, may we never fail to strive to see the radiance of Christ's face shining back at us. In all relationships, grant us such love and grace that our discipleship shall be made plain. Grant us the right words at times of difficulty, and the courage to step forward and witness by example when the opportunities arise. We ask you, Lord, to bless our homes. May they be places where we are able to share our faith with those we love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who are suffering in mind, body, or spirit at this time. We ask this morning that you may bring peace and healing wherever there is pain or sadness. Today we particularly pray for those who we know are suffering or are in need of healing. As we hold their names silently in our hearts, we ask that you will bring them reassurance, comfort, courage, and hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we offer you our thanks for lives well lived and faithful souls entering through the gate of physical death into eternal life with you. As we pray for those we have known and loved, we pray particularly for the soul of baby Willow whose funeral took place in this church this week. And also, we pray for Jercine Jilks. We hold Baby Willow's parents before you and pray that they may find peace and understanding, that you hold all your children in the palm of your hand. For all who have closed their eyes in this world and opened them in a better place, O Lord, we ask that they may rest in peace and rise in glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send your strength to your church, Lord, particularly in those parishes that take the name of St. Peter. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen. Give wisdom to our bishops. And bless us all as we share in rejoicing in the fellowship of St. Peter, St. Alban, and all your saints. We faithfully commend ourselves and all Christian people to your unfailing love and care. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.